Welcome back. This lesson is all about pocket consistency and loud mixes with stock plugins. And this is a seriously important topic if you're making modern drum and bass. Because here's the trap. You finish a groove, it rolls nicely, the drums feel alive, the bass has movement, and then you start pushing for loudness. You add saturation, bus compression, limiting, more bass drive, more edge, more pressure. And yeah, it sounds bigger for a moment, but then the pocket starts collapsing. The kick feels less decisive. The snare stops commanding the backbeat. Ghost notes disappear. Hats turn into static fizz. The bass starts smearing into the drums. And suddenly the track is heavy, but it doesn't move properly anymore. So in this lesson, we're not just making things louder. We're building a system where the groove survives pressure. The drums define the pulse. The bass supports the pulse. Dynamics are controlled selectively, and the limiter does not get to rewrite your timing. We are using Ableton Live stock devices only, and we're aiming for a loud, dark, modern DNB mix that still feels tight, punchy, and rolling. By the end, you'll have a drum and bass groove setup with a proper drum bus architecture, a sub and re-split, sidechain and dynamics that preserve groove instead of flattening it, and a loudness workflow that still respects pocket. This is an advanced lesson, so I'm going to assume you already know how to program decent drums and do basic balancing. What we're doing here is much more about hierarchy, consistency, and translation under pressure. Let's get into it. Start with a groove that already has pocket. This sounds obvious, but it matters more than people think. If the groove is weak before processing, no amount of mixing will save it. Loudness exaggerates weaknesses. It does not fix them. Set your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. Build a classic DNB skeleton. Kick on beat 1. Maybe supporting hits depending on whether you want a straighter 2-step or more of a roller. Snare on 2 and 4. Add ghost snares before or after the main snare at low velocity. Put in 16th note hats or shakers with subtle variation. Then add a ride or break layer for forward movement. A clean starting track layout would be kick, snare main, snare ghost, hat closed, perk or tops, and break layer. Now here's the key principle. Your pocket lives in the relationship between kick transient, snare transient, ghost timing, top loop swing, and bass note attack, not just in the MIDI grid. In Ableton, yes, you can use the groove pool, but for advanced DNB, be careful. Don't just dump groove onto everything and hope for magic. Usually the better approach is to keep the kick and main snare mostly hard quantized, and then shift ghosts and tops manually by tiny amounts. Ghost snares might move anywhere from about 3 milliseconds early to 8 milliseconds late. Shakers often feel good 4 to 12 milliseconds late. Break layers often work slightly behind the grid, which helps the roll. Tiny moves, really tiny. This is one of those areas where a few milliseconds can create motion without weakening impact. And teacher note here, when people say a groove is humanized, they often just mean it's messy. That's not what we want. We want controlled asymmetry, deliberate motion around stable anchors. Once the groove itself feels good, create hierarchy before you even think about loud processing. A loud mix needs clear internal priority. Bring all the faders down and balance from scratch. Ask yourself what the listener should feel first. Usually, the kick should carry the strongest low-mid impact. The snare should feel slightly louder in perceived punch, especially in the upper mid-crack region. Hats and tops should be clearly audible, but not running the whole track. Ghosts should be felt more than heard. The break layer should add propulsion, not confusion. A really useful test here is to mute the bass and ask, does the groove still work? Can I still feel the kick placement when the hats are busy? Does the snare still speak when the break layer is in? If the answer is no, fix that now. Do not reach for saturator and drum bus as a shortcut. At this level, 0.5 dB to 1.5 dB of fader movement often fixes more pocket problems than another compressor ever will. Try this before touching anything heavy. Lower the break layer slightly, lower the res slightly, raise the main snare slightly, and then recheck the loudest section. A lot of groove issues are really just priority issues. Next, build proper routing. Group your drums into a drums bus. Put your kick, snare main, snare ghost, hat closed, perk and tops, and break layer inside that group. Then build a bass group with sub and res or mid bass. Then a music group for stabs, pads, atmospheres, and effects. This matters because in loud DNB, you need control at multiple levels. You need individual transient shaping, internal drum balance, full drum bus glue, drum to bass relationship, and then master loudness behavior. If you skip routing, your limiter ends up making groove decisions for you, And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. Now let's shape transience with stock tools, but not with brute force compression. On the kick, try a chain of EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and then maybe a limiter or a very light glue compressor if needed. With EQ8, high pass around 25 to 30 Hz to remove useless sub-rumble. If the kick is boxy, do a gentle cut around 250 to 400 Hz. If it needs more front-edge definition, add a small boost around 3 to 5 kHz. Then saturator. Analog clip or soft sign both work well. Drive it gently, maybe 1.5 to 3 dB. Turn soft clip on and compensate the output. The point here is to make the kick read louder without massively increasing the peak. Then drum bus. Drive around 2 to 6. Crunch very low if any. Transients maybe plus 5 to plus 20. Usually leave boom off for DNB kicks unless the sample is genuinely too thin. What we want is not fake fatness. We want a more reliable front edge, hit after hit. The Sodino version is shortened for playback.